We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome to Kits and Wagers. I am Adam Zdroik, joined by Chris Owen. We're talking Boxing Day, Game Week 19, and I guess we're also talking about Manchester United and Newcastle, which is on Tuesday, not on Boxing Day. Before we get to that, are you looking for NFTs that are both fun and of actual utility? Try So Rare, the largest NFT-based fantasy game. You can collect, trade, and compete with officially licensed digital cards of soccer players from over 180 clubs on So Rare. That's SORARE.com. Chris, we got the a different Liverpool kit. I don't know how this is probably your 10th Liverpool kit you've brought on to the show. So let's hear about it. What's the occasion here?
Adam, great to be back. It's, you know, we had a slight break here over the past week. We had been going about every 2 to 3 days, you know, recording at night, doing things, you know, that we're typically doing here. So it's good to be back. It's a beautiful, we're December 23rd. We're recording on a Thursday here. It's nice morning. I'm here in sunny Wisconsin. It's a cold. I didn't miss the cold whatsoever. And you're right. I am in probably like my, you know, eighth Liverpool kit. But the thing is Adam, there's a lot more of these to come. I've been trying to vary it up, you know, because I can't be the guy who hops on the podcast with like a Liverpool kit every week. So, but here I am. This one's not actually mine. As I said, I'm home here in Wisconsin. My dad is also a Liverpool supporter, kind of by proxy. And so I'm sitting here in the Ronald McDonald color your Liverpool kit. I think it's like maybe 2009-ish. So that, I think that's, it's around that year, around that time. So, and they thought the color, I mean, Liverpool's had this color scheme many times over the years, but they keep bringing it back for some reason, and it just keeps on looking worse. But they actually have this color scheme this year too for like their alternate kit. But that's what I'm rocking. No game this week due to COVID postponements. But other than that, just happy to be home. Happy to be talking a little Premier League here with you. And we're getting more than 4 matches this week, which is good for us.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like Liverpool's played with the McDonald kit at least once this year. I don't know if it was Champions League, but I feel like I remember seeing it at some point already.
Was it against Arsenal, I want to say? Maybe that, were
that would make sense. I mean, if Arsenal's going with their red or something, and then yeah, you know, they mix it up, go with the yellow. So them. I guess if that's the case, they're 1-0 in it. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd have to look back. It's not my favorite kit, but yeah, we'll make do.
We're just making up numbers here. But yeah, I'm going. I mentioned last podcast, which, you know, it feels like more than a week ago, but it was a week ago just because we had all these podcasts back to back. But so I mentioned about the RotoWire kit. So I decided just to pull out the RotoWire. We'll call this the RotoWire warm up kit. Yes. Got the nice Under Armour, so, you know, very athletic. So it's, you know, it's cold out. You could wear this to the pitch and, you know, warm the legs up a little bit and get going. And then still waiting on the actual RotoWire kit. But that's, again, that's for years to come. But yes, December 23rd, we are coming up to Boxing Day. So happy holidays to everyone. Hopefully it's going to be as Chris said, we had four matches last game week. Hopefully we're going to stay with these eight matches that we have here. We already had two postponed this morning, and hopefully there's not going to be any more postponed, because otherwise we're going to have a situation like last week when my best bet, it did not hit. And our best bet didn't hit because the Aston Villa match was postponed. I think it was postponed Saturday morning, even last minute kind of thing. And I just didn't have it in me to put something else new out there. So I just let it slide as a push. But Chris, Wolves win or draw against Chelsea. Maybe a beat up Chelsea team. But the match kind of went exactly as we expected. Like we both said, you know, the under is going to be low scoring. Maybe one team will get a goal, but it was going to be low scoring. And that's exactly how it played out. And you bet your bet won. I forget what the exact odds were, but it was probably plus, I don't know, 140 or something in that range.
Yeah, the Wolves double chance was plus 165. So pretty happy with that one. We talked about it on the last podcast. Chelsea not playing their best. They're banged up. Everyone's pretty banged up. Wolves just know how to grind it out. They know how to keep other teams out of the net. You know, we ended up in a nil-nil draw there. So, yeah, pretty pleased with that one. And we'll try to keep it going this week. And, you know, for better or for worse, we didn't get your bet, but we'll try to get another one in this week.
Yeah, I guaranteed that all my best bets would hit. So far, I am 0-0, and – you know, it's not a loser. So that's okay. That's what we're going at.
What happens, you know, you guaranteed it, but like what happens if they don't hit? Like do you have to like eat like 10 cookies or something like that or what?
I probably already eat 10 cookies a day. So let's make it 11 cookies. Is that a good deal?
That's fair. I can work with that.
All right. So it was kind of a pain trying to determine, you know, the three matches we wanted to talk about, because we already had those first two postponed earlier today, Leeds-Liverpool, and then Watford-Wolves. I mean, if you're looking on YouTube, you'll see that the original graphic for the show was a Watford-Wolves match, but Watford's still dealing with injuries. Or COVID, sorry. And so, you know, we had to decide what teams we wanted to talk about. Half of them are dealing with COVID. Half of them are dealing with injuries. So we decided on we're going to start with this Crystal Palace. Sorry, Tottenham. They're home against Crystal Palace. Tottenham are minus 135 to win. Crystal Palace plus 390. The draw is plus 385. And the over-under here is even across the board. Minus 110 for over 2.5 goals. Minus 110 for under 2.5 goals. And I think – so Tottenham – I guess the difference here between these teams is Tottenham have played. So they returned from COVID. They've played two matches without rotating too much since Crystal Palace have played one. Tottenham played on the 19th and 22nd. They just beat West Ham on Wednesday in the cup match. And then Crystal Palace have not played since the 15th because of not their COVID issues, but other teams' COVID issues. So from what I believe is that Crystal Palace don't actually have COVID-19 issues. So that's one positive for them. And they don't have a ton of injuries. So they're rested. They're healthy. Tottenham have played two matches. What do you think is going to happen in this one?
Yeah, Tottenham actually playing really well since, I think, has it been six matches since Antonio Conte took over? Like right around there. And
Their first match, I believe they beat Vitesse 3-2 in the UEFA match, and then their first league match was that boring 0-0 draw against Everton.
Okay, so yeah, they've had a fair decent little size of games here, and in their past six they've won three, drew two, and lost one. So that, you know, a fair bit of points there, 11 points from 18. So they're playing well. But like you said, they've had a lot of COVID issues. They've played two matches to Crystal Palace's one match. Crystal Palace have been able to grind out matches. They have, I believe, the most draws in the Premier League. So that's been how they like kept up in the table. And so that being said, I think this one feels kind of like a classic draw. That being said, Tottenham you know, they held Liverpool 2-2 the other day, and other than that, have won a couple good games. But I think Crystal Palace, just because of what they've done all season, is like, you know, they've only in 18 or 17 matches, they've only lost 5 of those matches. Otherwise, they've done pretty well to take points from games. And I think against the Tottenham side, they should be able to do that again.
Yeah, so Tottenham, I don't know. I just thought, like, they haven't been – if you're just looking at the numbers here, so they played 5 league matches under Conte. They've won 3 of them, drawn the other 2. I mean, the 2 draws were against away against Everton and then draw against Liverpool most recently. But they played 4 straight – this is going to be their 5th straight home match in league play, just because of, you know, all the COVID stuff going on. But – just for some reason, I guess it was their losses in Europa Conference League that I didn't think they were playing all that consistent. But I mean, if you're just looking at league play stuff, like, they've been pretty solid. Like, sure, mm-hmm. their wins, you know, their wins are against Leeds, Brentford, and Norwich, but those are wins, and they're more than the 1-0 wins that they're getting earlier in the season with Nuno Espirito Santo. But I mean, I think they're playing well enough. You know, they just got the win against West Ham. I guess we'll wait and see what the rotation's going to be like, because all these teams have 2 matches in 3 days. So it might be a thing where some guys get rotated in this Boxing Day match for Tottenham, and then they're starting 2 days later. They probably play on the 28th. So maybe lineup rotation is something to consider, and Crystal Palace will have rest. But I don't really want to go against Tottenham at home just with how they look. I think I already went against them at home. If I'm being, I probably took Brentford actually in kind of a win draw situation, and then Tottenham outplayed them 2-0 in that one. So if I had to go pick away, I would not pick Crystal Palace in this situation. I'll say I do like the over a little bit more. It's tricky betting on Conte with the way they play, but I do like. Just because of Crystal Palace, they seem to always have some goals in their matches. Do you think there's going to be, if you're going with the draw, are you thinking like a 1-1 draw, 2-2 draw kind of thing? Or
yeah, I think I like the over 2. I mean, Harry Kane in his last match, he scored a 2nd Premier League goal, something that it's just like he hasn't found the back of the net yet. He looks really good, and it'll be interesting to see how the tactics change against Crystal Palace. Against Liverpool, they were able to kind of sit in a little bit and make the fullbacks from Liverpool kind of like be the creators in attack. And so in that sense, they were able to do a lot of counterattacking, and that's kind of how they got both their goals and a few of their good chances. So I'm interested to see if they like sit back and let Crystal Palace possess most of the ball and then just try to hit them on the break, or if they play a little bit more possession. So yeah, that being said, I think, you know, Kane looked from, you know, I haven't watched him play every match, but that's the best I've seen him look as far as his movement. He had a couple of good passes to put Dele Alli in for a chance that he should have scored, I think. And then I think he set up Heung-Min Son later in the match too, in what could have been a goal too. So Kane looked the best. Right now, you're not really getting any favors from the odds makers on anytime goal scoring odds. He's at +105. And then first score, last score is +280. So if you're looking at any of the goal scorers, Harry Kane, just, you know, starting to look a little bit better, a little bit more alive. And yeah, I think if this game is going to be anything, it might be like a, you know, a 2-1 or a 2-2 or something like that with a couple different goals, just because Palace have shown that they can fill it up. I think they're either 7th or 8th in the Premier League in terms of goals scored. So just a team who's been able to fill it up all season against, you know, some tough teams. And I was looking earlier, and their only losses this season have come against some pretty good sides. They lost 3-0 to Chelsea, 3-0 to Liverpool. They drew, or they lost to Leeds 1-0, and then Man United 1-0 as well. So, like, you know, some top 4, top 5, top 6 sides there. So Tottenham could give them trouble, but I think that Crystal Palace will be able to hang in there well enough.
Yeah, just in terms of their most recent match, so they played Wednesday. They beat West Ham 2-1. They rotated some guys, like Son Heung-min. He played 30 minutes off the bench. Dele Alli played 13 minutes off the bench. So, you know, they got a couple guys that got some rest. But, you know, Lucas Moura started. Harry Kane went a full 90. And it looks like their 3 center backs are pretty set right now because Romero's hurt. So they're not – you know, changing Davies, Dyer, and Sanchez. So those guys, seems like those guys will be going full 90s in every match. So maybe there'll be some wear and tear in their legs. Maybe there'll be some fatigue. So that's one thing to look at when those lineups come out, see if there's any changes. But maybe you draw. I don't know if I'd be willing to take Crystal Palace straight up at plus 390.
Yeah, I'm not brave enough to do that myself. And, I mean, there's a couple other good opportunities here that I'll get into in my best bet. But, yeah, I think this will be a fun game to watch at the very least.
Yeah, should be hopefully some goals in that one. So we got a standalone match between Aston Villa against Chelsea. Aston Villa at home, plus 450 to win. Chelsea are the favorite, minus 145. You have to draw at plus 265. You can get over 2.5 goals at plus 100, under 2.5 at minus 125. So lean in there towards the under. And, you know, both teams have a bit of a COVID situation. And I think the bigger unknown, if you're watching on YouTube here, I'll pull up our projected lineups at rotowire.com. So it seems like we know that Chelsea are getting – you see all the you know, the questionables here for Chelsea. I guess Villa have some too, but so Villa haven't really released their COVID issues, and we don't know who tested positive, and that's kind of the big question going into this one. I mean, any of their guys really could have tested positive, like Watkins, Ings, McGinn. Like, we don't know because they, you know, their last match was postponed. But we're just going to assume that it's all the regulars, and hopefully nothing crazy is going to be changing in the lineup. As for Chelsea, it seems like Lukaku, Hudson-Odoi, those guys, they recently tested negative. I think either they returned to training recently or they did today. They weren't in the match squad Wednesday. So I think if they can, you know, they train Thursday, that's a couple days of training. I think guys like Lukaku and Hudson-Odoi could help out there. And otherwise, Jorginho, Conte, looks like those guys are, you know, back to health. So they're getting back to normal here. But besides all the COVID stuff, besides the injury stuff, if we throw all that stuff out the window, I like Villa in this spot just because of, you know, I mean, we feel like we say it maybe every show, just the way they're playing under Steven Gerrard. I just like they're a massive underdog here. They're at home. Maybe the odds makers know some COVID stuff we don't know about, but again, as I said, I don't want to, you know, project those things. So I kind of like Villa in the spot though.
Yeah, that's interesting. The disparity in transparency for the Premier League and like the NFL or the NBA or and like who's got COVID and who doesn't is one of the most interesting things, because I'm not sure what purpose it really serves to like say like, hey, this player doesn't, you know, like if it's, you know, an NFL player, they're like, yep, this guy tested positive this day at this time, he'll have this amount of time to come back. And, you know, he needs X amount of negative tests within 24 hours. Whereas like the Premier League is like, I don't know. It might be a hamstring, might be COVID, you know, might be like, he's just needs some rest or something like that. So that's been a tough thing for us to tell. Yeah. And in terms of this match, we've said it, Villa playing pretty well, racking up some points pretty solidly in the middle of the table now. Chelsea, on the other hand, you know, they came out of the gates really hot. They got strung together a lot of wins, and most of those on the back of some really good defensive performances. They, you know, had a shutout against Wolverhampton last weekend, but they couldn't find the back of the net, which has been a little bit of a struggle for them. So, yeah, I definitely think Aston Villa here would be an interesting play, just because Chelsea have, let's see, they drew Wolves, they drew Everton before that, and we know what that Everton side is, nothing crazy. And then the win over 3-2 win over Leeds United, but other than that, you know, they've kind of been struggling over probably the past month, like going into mid-November. So I just don't see a way, especially if they're missing, you know, they have a pretty long list of players that are going to miss or either questionable or are already going to miss this match. And so a Chelsea side not at full strength against an Aston Villa side who are maybe missing, you know, one or two players that would feasibly start. I think that Aston Villa's got enough like firepower to either win this or at least draw it, especially, you know, the way that they have been playing.
Yeah, Chelsea, I mean, they're coming off the cup win against Brentford, and They had a lot of their backups in that game, and sure, that's a fine win, but Brentford, they're not playing their best right now. And I don't know if they've played like a really solid match. Like they haven't had the big matches like Manchester City have recently, you know, the big wins. Sure, that's not how Chelsea play, but it's not like they're just if like you read off of some of their results, like they're just not playing that well as a team. And a lot of that's COVID, a lot of that's some of these injuries, and some of these guys are coming back, but you know, they haven't been training for who knows how long. So like a lot of these guys haven't been training together for a long time. So I mean, you're just extending the results going back here. Like they allowed a couple goals against Leeds, they allowed 3 goals against Zenit. Maybe that game didn't mean anything, but still, they lost that away match against West Ham, a lot of goal against Watford. So throwing all this stuff, and under Gerrard, the lone home loss for Villa has been the game against Manchester City, which was it wasn't a terrible match. Like we've talked about those Manchester City goals, they you know, they were top goals and couldn't really do anything about them, came out of nothing kind of thing. So I do like, if you want to, plus 450 to win isn't crazy, is kind of what I'm trying to say here. I think the odds should be a little closer. I think it makes more sense if Chelsea were like plus 100 to win. They're just not playing well enough right now to, you know, take them at minus 145 against a team like Villa, who is playing everyone well, playing all the top teams well. And obviously we have the COVID issues and all those questions, but we have down here. So you got the plus 125 for win or draw. If you know, if you're not confident in Villa to win, that's a pretty good option as well. I've under 2.5. I minus 125. I'm not sold on that one, but it is somewhere. This has like a makings of like a 2-1 match if Villa have their way kind of thing, but. Maybe I won't look at the over under, but I probably will look at Aston Villa in a situation here.
Yeah, as you said, the double chance, the win or draw at plus 125 for Aston Villa. Like, those are good odds. I didn't, when I, you know, I usually like going when I'm doing a little bit of research here, I kind of like think, all right, are we going to get negative odds or are we going to get positive odds? And to come in here and get some pretty good odds on the double chance, I think that one's of the bets that are on the table for this match, that would probably be my preferred route. You know, still return money regardless of what happens. Plus 450, that would obviously pay out pretty well, but I just, you know, I think Villa have played well enough to at least earn a draw. Interesting enough, you know, looking over the past six matches, Villa have played much better than Chelsea. Chelsea have taken 9 points, 2 wins, 3 draws, 1 loss, whereas Aston Villa have won 4 out of their past 6 matches, and then they lost 2 of those matches. So Villa 12 points out of a possible 18, whereas Chelsea have 9 out of a possible 18. So I think Villa are just in good form and could pull this one out, and at least that draw, no bet, or the double chance draw or win for plus 125 returns your money if they pull it off.
Yeah, so like I said, maybe the odds makers know something we don't know, and that's why Chelsea are minus 145. I just want to read a quote here that I sent to Chris earlier. So it's from Steven Gerrard. I believe he said this on Wednesday. This is about, you know, the COVID situation, his team. It's changing every hour. It's changing on a daily basis. It's very unpredictable. We're testing every day. I don't really know what position we're going to be in come the game. At the moment, we've got enough to play. So, like, that isn't a very reassuring statement, but maybe it could just be talk. Like there's always a chance that, you know, Gerard's just trying to play some games with Tuchel, and Villa could have their regular starting 11. Like, we don't know. That's the thing. And I guess if you like Villa, maybe take them right now, because if they do come out with the regular starting 11, those odds could drop, so you'd be losing value. On the other end of that, half their team could be missing, and Chelsea moved to like a minus 200 favorite. So you're playing kind of a game here, and I guess we're going to say good luck to the game you're playing. Personally, I will probably wait until lineups come out to see what happens.
Right now, was that quote from today or was that earlier in the week? I missed that part.
His press conference was yesterday, so it was Wednesday, I'm pretty sure.
That's an early press conference for a Saturday game too.
Very
So,
true.
you know, like, I don't
Sunday
know.
game.
Oh yeah, for a Sunday game. So I wonder if there'll be more quotes that are like, you know, is he going to do another press? Well, I guess they're probably not going to do a Christmas Eve press conference. Maybe.
Yeah, a lot of teams are doing earlier press conferences because of, you know, Christmas Eve. So it seems like half of them are, a few were done Wednesday. We had a few today, and then there may be some on Friday.
Okay, gotcha. Well, yeah, I mean, wait and see approach. But right now on rotowire.com, they have a pretty strong starting 11, at least from the intel that we have that's been given out. So I think it stacks up well enough against Chelsea for them to do some good stuff.
Yeah, the intel is it's coming right off the dome. So,
yeah, Adam wrote the notes, so he knows.
So next match here we have. This is not Boxing Day. This is Monday, December 27th. Newcastle are home against Manchester United. This is Newcastle are +600 to win at home. Manchester United are -210 as an away favorite. The draw is +330. You get over 2.5 goals, -165, over 3.5, +150, under 2.5, +135. The good news is it doesn't seem like we're going to have COVID issues. Newcastle haven't really had a major issue with that. Manchester United, I think most of their team returned to training earlier this week, and I don't think that's going to be an issue. I mean, from now until then, we still have, you know, 4 days. And actually, right when we started the show, I believe Manchester United had their press conference. So I guess you can go off it, and I'll pull up and see if Ragnick said anything. But what are your thoughts on this match here?
My thoughts are that Newcastle are a bad team. They have been getting their clock clean the last couple of weeks here, or the last three matches. In each of the last three matches, there's been 4 goals scored. So if anything, you know, for me, I'm looking at the over. I don't know where, I think over 3.5 is where they get into the positive. But yeah, they lost to Leicester 4-0. They lost to Liverpool 3-1. And last week, they lost 4-0 to Manchester City. They have one win all season. Is that correct? Which is just like something I didn't really expect when I look that up. But
yeah, Eddie Howe got their first win, right? Because they're winless without him, I believe.
Yeah. Yep. So they're not good. They're looking, I wish we could go back to some of our early podcasts, and like, I think Norwich always had the top relegation odds. I gotta believe that Newcastle are kind of inching closer to those now if they don't already have them. You know, I like to look at those anytime goal scorers. Cristiano Ronaldo, he's -135, so not really good enough to put any money down on. So I would avoid that. But yeah, I just think this could be it could be again the over, hit the over with like a 4-0, 3-1 win for Manchester United, where Newcastle just don't have it, and I just don't see them changing that. I mean, if you could think something totally different here, but that's where I'm at least.
Yeah, so are you putting Manchester United right now at the same level as the teams like Manchester City, Liverpool? I mean, Newcastle have that Leicester loss in there too, but I think some of Newcastle's, you know, their struggles are just the competition recently. I mean, I guess that Leicester City match wasn't great by any means, but I don't know. Like they were fine. Like they beat Burnley. They got a point from Norwich. I don't know. They're not playing well, but I wonder if some of those blowouts were because of level of competition. But now that I mentioned the press conference that started right when we started, so it seems like it's a completely opposite situation for Manchester United. So a quote from Ragnick here: "We train on Tuesday, Wednesday, and today, and we have 25 field players. Paul Pogba was the only one missing out. Everyone else is on board." Nice. So in addition to getting players back from COVID, it appears the postponed matches for Manchester United also helped everyone else get healthy. So if Pogba's the only one out, Varane's going to be an option. Cavani, Martial, Wan-Bissaka, all their injured players are going to be available again. I guess that – I wonder if the odds were juiced before our show here to reflect that, because they are -210, but +600 draw, +350. So you're simply going Manchester United, maybe win by more than one goal kind of thing. Anytime goal scorer, you have any preference there? Ronaldo -135, probably too high up there to take. But
yeah, that's a little too high for me. I mean, if I had to go anywhere, I'd go a little bit further down to like Rashford at +160. He's on the same odds with Bruno Fernandes. So if I'm not taking in anytime goal scorer in negative, like pretty much usually ever, just because that's too much of a fickle bet. But I think, Rashford or Fernandes at +160. I'm not really seeing.
I'd probably look at Sancho, actually. His odds seem off. I'm looking at DraftKings here. He's +240. But when healthy, like, he's started the majority of matches under Ragnick here.
Yeah.
And, like, he's in the same position as Greenwood. He's in a more attacking position than Bruno Fernandes. Same position as Rashford. Martial is even +180. So it's unclear why Sancho is +240. If you want goal odds in this match, I'd probably take that.
Yeah, that makes total sense to me. But yeah, I would just avoid Ronaldo at -135. That's not quite gonna not very fruitful here. But the +3.5 or over 3.5 is +150. So that's really where you start to get your positive odds in terms of overs. So if I was going to go with anyone, any of the overs, that's it. You don't really get good odds at over 2.5 because it's -165.
Yeah, so Manchester United's last time they played was December 11th. That's going to be 16 days between matches. Like, I was originally going to say, look how defensive they were in their recent matches. But, I mean, those matches were more than 2 weeks ago, so how much are we going to look into those? Like, one was a 1-0 result against Norwich. Another one was 1-0 against Crystal Palace. Because I was originally going to look at, you know, over 4.5 goals, hope for a bunch of goals here. And then, like, you see those recent Manchester United results. Maybe they're, you know, playing the more defensive route. But I just think the adrenaline's going to be flowing for Newcastle. They're going to be at home. I'm not taking them the win. No, I just think I think they'll score. I think they'll at least be competitive. I mean, this is going to be the standalone match on Monday, and maybe it's dumb, but I think I said it last time that Manchester United played. I may have took Norwich +1. I just, until like Manchester United, you know, string together some more positive results, I'm going to keep going against them. And like, I like Newcastle +1 in this spot. Like, I guess if we go back 2 weeks ago, now that I think about it, like, Manchester United didn't really outplay Norwich.
They were outplayed.
Right. I think that was the PK match for Ronaldo. And
yeah, where De Gea kind of stood on his head.
Like, we're going back to that. And I don't know. It doesn't make sense on the surface because of what the Newcastle's results have been. But again, they've also had rest. They've had eight days between their loss against Manchester City and this one. So I think of the way I'm going to look at it, I think Newcastle is going to score, and I'll probably take them +1. The odds on that are unclear, but I'm sure it's somewhere around +100 or so.
Yeah, there's just no part of me where I'm like, all right, Newcastle, one win.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, I just can't. I disagree with you there. I think, you know, you just listed a bunch of players that Manchester United could get back. Namely, for me, Rafael Varane. You know, him and Eric Bailly, they are not the same center backs. If they return Varane and Varane's able to sit back there, that just opens things up in attack. It's like,
well, Lindelof was playing, to be fair.
Okay, well, Lindelof or Eric Bailly are not the same as Rafael Varane. No, there's not on what planet and what galaxy. So if they can get Varane back, like, I like United even more so because, you know, you're a little bit more short in the back. You can play out of the back. I think it gives them a lot more options going forward. So I do, like you said, I do think Newcastle can score, but I think United are going to be able to hit a couple goals here.
All right, fine. You like that. So Newcastle +1 is +115. So if they lose by one, you're basically getting your money back. If it's a draw, you're winning your bet, that kind of thing. So I usually like doing that one. for the underdogs, because, you know, if they get a point, you win. If they lose by a goal, you know, nothing happens. So
we're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is a longer show here. We're just in the festive mood, but it's time for best bets. And again, I keep forgetting to write down three because technically you did not lose the best bet last week because there was no best bet that was actually played. So I'm going to give you three options here and you have to choose the best one. Okay. So the first one, my original best bet here, West Ham -115 to win. You know, they have Mikel Antonio, Aaron Cresswell. They may not play. Antonio tested positive for COVID-19 last week. But the thing here is I just like West Ham against the teams that, you know, aren't in this top six kind of thing. And I think they'll be fine. They've won their last four at home against Southampton by a combined 12-1 scoreline. So I feel pretty comfortable about that one. You know, -115 is the main reason I pulled those odds up because I feel like that should be closer to, you know, -150 or so. The next one, Burnley are home against Everton. Everton may don't Rafa Benitez recently said he had 9 outfield players available, and the Premier League already looked at it and said no, this match is going on. So I started writing my article yesterday and Wednesday. Burnley are +140 to win. Burnley are currently +120, so I still like it. Burnley to win, +120. I know Burnley don't have a ton of wins, but, you know, let's get festive. Boxing Day, home match, Burnley to win. And then going to Brighton and Brentford, and that is the beautiful standalone late-night match on Boxing Day. Brighton are home. I'm just going to go with a simple no on both teams to score. That is -115. Pretty much both teams have struggled to score all season, and I'm just going to, you know, go with that. It's -115 odds on there. So, you know, if that was getting to closer to -140, I probably wouldn't look at it. But like Brentford, Brighton, these teams, I don't know what the exact goal odds are or how much they've scored. Actually, let me pull it up. I'll help the fans out. So Brentford, they've scored 21 goals in 20 matches. I assume that's less. A lot of those were earlier in the season. As for Brighton, they have 14 goals in 20 matches. So there you go. No on both teams to score -115. What is your pick out of those three?
Well, luckily, Adam, while you were talking, I was writing these down. So otherwise, I would have, you know, been totally lost in my own brain here. Yeah, some interesting bets. I got to think about this real quickly. I think I'm going to toss out the Brighton-Brentford bet. I think it's a good bet, especially with Brentford returning Ivan Toney. Looks like at least we have Toney back in our
He played like 30 minutes off the bench yesterday against Chelsea.
Okay, in that league. Okay, makes sense. Okay. But yeah, so, I mean, that's an interesting bet. But, yeah, with they're kind of both teams are looking relatively healthy. I mean, Brighton, I guess, are missing some players and Pascal Gross. So, but regardless, I'm going to toss that one out. It's not my favorite bet. Next one, I think I'm going to, you know, Everton playing so without a lot of players. It's very intriguing. You said the odds went down to plus 120. So I think, you know, if you're
mainly because of like all the Everton issues going out.
Yeah. So I think if you're going to get on it, you got to get on it now because it might get, get worse and or postponed. So that's potential. But just the one that I like here is West Ham that I'm going to lock in for your best bet is West Ham to win at minus 115. Like you said, I think those odds should be a little bit higher, and they're playing at home. They're good. As we mentioned, the home teams have been, you know, pretty dominant in, well, in like Southampton's not particularly great going away either. So I'm going to lock it in for West Ham minus 115 to win.
All right. Yeah. And it looks like Caballero is going to start for Southampton again. So that furthers the bet there, minus 115 on West Ham. So, Chris, you hit last week. I'm not sure what run you're on here, but what do you got for us?
I think I'm on a one-week winning streak. Okay. So that's
not we both lost 2 weeks prior, I believe.
Yeah. I thought Norwich could beat Aston Villa for someone.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So yeah, we're not going to do that one again. But I hit the draw the draw or win with Wolverhampton last week, and looking at it. As when I look at them now, it's like, all right, if there's anything that's kind of plus odds, they're kind of fun because it's like, you know, you got two of three options there that you're going to cover off. So that being said, as we talked about the Aston Villa Chelsea match, I became even further intrigued about Aston Villa double chance plus 125. Though that's not what I wrote down to start the show. That would be another good bet if you're going to if you think I know anything about soccer. The one that I'm going to lock in here, though, is we talked about it. Kick off the show here. Crystal Palace double chance is plus 115. They've got 5 losses in 17 matches, and those have come against some pretty quality sides. Chelsea, Liverpool, Aston Villa, Leeds, and Man United. So I don't know if Tottenham are quite on the level of three of those teams, but I think that Crystal Palace, just their ability to grind out results, I think that they can do it away at Tottenham. So I'm going to lock them in at double chances, plus 115.
All right. You're sticking with it. I tried to sway you from it, but we're sticking with Crystal Palace away from home. Just got to hope that, you know, they're rested up and Tottenham are not rested up. Maybe Harry Kane's not even going to start this match. So on the other side of that, I think it's likely Son Heung-min does start and he could be the central forward. But, you know, That hasn't worked out in the past. So there's ways here for Crystal Palace to come out with some points, and that's Chris's best bet.
As he chuckles and laughs at my best bet, shout out to my co-host here just laughing in my virtual face.
Hey, you have a better record than me, so I shouldn't be laughing. I apologize.
It's Christmas time.
Yep, happy holidays to everyone. So that's our Boxing Day show. But Chris wants to start up the end of show segment here. We're bringing to everyone cookies and wagers. Chris, take it away here.
Yeah, so, you know, holiday time, it's a time to throw out your diet, exercise if you can. But most importantly, you got to hit the cookie jar as many times as humanly possible. And like I said, Adam's going to eat 11 cookies later this week when one of his bets might miss. But for me, you know, I love cookies. I like any normal human being. And I was just curious, Adam, here. What is your favorite, you know, whether it's Christmas cookie or like, you know, holiday time cooking, is what's one that when you're going into the cookie jar or the dessert table, what's one that you can't miss?
Yeah, I think the must for me. So I grew up with chocolate covered peanut butter balls. I believe, you know, some people call them Buckeyes, but here in Michigan, we call them chocolate covered peanut butter balls. But, you know, just the combination of peanut butter and chocolate, like you can't beat that. It's so simple. Like you got these mainly two ingredients, and I just grew up on those, and it's still my favorite to this day. So it's probably been my favorite for, I don't know, 99% of my life. So that's my favorite. You have a personal favorite here for yours?
Well, first and foremost, I think, you know, as the expert cookie monster here on Cookies and Wagers, I'm going to put your over under on the chocolate covered peanut butter balls for, you know, the week of Christmas at probably like plus minus 14 and a half. You know, do you think you hit the over on that, or is it appropriate?
Yeah. So, when my extended family gets together every year, sister of my mom's bakes cookies. So like there's probably 20 different varieties of cookies that come on to this, you know, this monster cookie plate that gets refilled every day. And so I'm probably going to be, it's going to be a close call, 14 and a half chocolate covered peanut balls, just because there's so many more that you have to try. Like we personally made blueberry and white chocolate, and then cranberry white chocolate cookies here. So that's what we're spreading to the cookie plate ourselves. But over under on kinds of cookies tried in the next week, I'm going to say that's going to be 20 and a half. I'll give those are the same odds as Cristiano Ronaldo's over under and goals scored. That'll be the same over under and types of cookies in my stomach over the next week. So let's leave it at that.
Take me over.
So what's your cookie then? What do you got?
My cookie is that's the two different things here. One's not really a cookie, but one's just kind of like your peanut butter blossom or your Buckeye. That's also
the expert cookie comes expert cookie analysis says this isn't a cookie. What's going on?
Well, it's okay. Let me just explain it. It's more of like a turtle, but like, have you ever had a poor man turtles? They're called. They're like, you get the pretzel, you get the Rolo, you put the Rolo on the pretzel, you bake it for like a minute or two, and then you put an almond on top, and they're called poor man turtles, or at least that's what my family has called them.
But wait, that sounds like a regular turtle.
Yeah, pretty much, but it's a pretzel with a Rolo.
Oh, a pretzel. Okay.
And then you like bake it for like, you know, 2 minutes, get it melted, and then you put the almond or pecan or whatever your fancy is on the nut, and you put that sucker on there. That's a close second. Number one, though, is as you mentioned, peanut butter and chocolate is forever a undefeated combination. For me, it's the peanut butter blossom. And what that is, it's a beautiful cookie. You know, a lot of peanut butter involved, a lot of cookie involved. You roll it up into like a kind of a ball and a perfect square.
Okay.
And then you roll it around in sugar, like fine sugar, put it on the the baking sheet, cook them for, you know, whatever it is, 10, 12 minutes. And then you get your Hershey's Kiss. You put that sucker in the middle. They're like divine. I'm over 14 and a half on those suckers. Like I can eat a lot of those.
Yeah. So I've been eating these my entire life, and I think this is the first time I've heard peanut butter blossom. So we just got, so I grew up in Michigan. Chris grew up in Wisconsin, I believe. And so, you know, just across states, we have just these, I just Googled it. The cookie originated in Ohio. So there you go. It was an entry in the 1957 Pillsbury Bake Off contest.
What do you call it in Michigan?
I mean, when I Googled that, it honestly escaped my mind. It's something Hershey, you know, Hershey Kiss something, Hershey, so on Wikipedia, they got Hershey's Hugs. Definitely never used that before.
I kind of like that.
I'm going to have to come back to you with that one. I'll probably have to ask my mom what she calls them. And then,
yeah.
But you definitely not peanut butter blossom. I was like, that's why I Googled it. I was like, what is this blossom? Yeah. But it's like the, you know, the regular, the Hershey Kiss on the peanut butter. So.
Yep. So you can find this conversation continuing on Twitter.
Yeah. So that's it for Kits and Wagers and Cookies and Wagers. Hopefully that's everyone's fix for a 5-minute fix for cookie talk between two guys discussing soccer in the Premier League. But thanks for listening to everyone on YouTube. Like and subscribe if you're listening on podcast. Over the next few days, I mean, you probably don't want to see our faces, so hopefully you're listening on podcast form, because you can maybe plug this into your ears while you're hanging out with family, and get some, hopefully get some good bets for Boxing Day. Maybe you're going to listen to this on Christmas Day. But as I say that, you know, enjoy time with your families and such. So maybe don't take my advice. So just forget all that. Anyways, like and subscribe. We will be back. Unclear when we'll be back, but we'll be back. There are matches on the 28th. So we will see everyone at some point. Thank you to So Rare and thank you to Chris. Enjoy your holidays. Enjoy Christmas. Enjoy your peanut butter blossoms. And we'll see you in a little bit.
Thank you.